Good morning and greetings in Jesus' name, our Redeemer, the one who has bought us back. Enjoyed the Sunday school discussion and the types that we see there in the story of Ruth. Welcome to each one. It's good to see each one that has gathered out this morning to worship, and trust we can be inspired as we look into God's Word. We'll look at a subject this morning, subject that is, I believe, real to each one of us. We'll look at contentment, some of the challenges that come with that, maybe some of the opposites of contentment at times that we face in our life. What is contentment? How do we find it? And what are some threats to contentment, a life of contentment? Contentment, is, as defined in the dictionary, is a state of happiness and satisfaction. I believe it has the thought of being satisfied with where I am in life. So I want to think about it this morning, thinking about where we are, the circumstances that surround us, the circumstances that we find ourselves in, being at rest and satisfied with that, not always longing or dreaming of something different, better, different circumstances. And maybe I'll give with this, and contentment is, I believe, as we think about, as I want to look at it this morning, is contentment and our lot in life. But then I think there should also be a part of our spiritual life where we're never 100% satisfied where we're at. We're wanting to grow. We're wanting to become more like the Master. So keep that in mind. I'm not speaking of becoming stagnant in our Christian life, but I'm thinking of contentment in our lot in life, where God has placed us and the position that we're called to fill. You can turn with me to Philippians 4 for a text passage this morning. Those of you that know Philippians, you know it was a letter that Paul wrote to the church at Philippi while he was in prison. So think about that as we read this. This is written from prison to a church, a group of people that was very dear to Paul, someone that he knew well. Philippians chapter 4. This morning I'm going to read verses 10 through 20 of Philippians 4. I invite you all that can to stand while I read this passage. Philippians 4, verse 10. But I rejoiced in the Lord greatly that now at the last your care of me hath flourished again, wherein ye were also careful, but ye lacked opportunity. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. I know both how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Notwithstanding, ye have well done that ye did communicate with my affliction. Now ye Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but ye only. For even in Thessalonica ye sent once and again unto my necessity. Not because I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account. But I have all and abound. I am full, having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you, an odor of a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God. But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Now unto God our Father be glory forever and ever. Amen. You may be seated. Paul had been to Philippi several times throughout his ministry. Probably the time we think of the most is during his second missionary journey when he came to Philippi first time. It was the first time that Paul entered into Europe, and he crossed over into Macedonia and came to Philippi. And we have the story of Lydia, the first convert on the European continent. Then Paul and Silas, when they were going to prayer, had the damsel that was following after them with a spirit of divination that was crying out and, would you say, bothering them. And Paul rebuked that spirit, and the spirit left the girl. Her masters were very upset with Paul and Silas for this, and they were thrown in prison. Spent the night in prison, and Paul and Silas sang and prayed at midnight. You remember the story of the earthquake that shook the jail, and they were released. And through that, the jailer became a Christian, gave his heart to the Lord, and him and his household were converted. Paul also traveled to Philippi on his third missionary journey. He spent some time there again. And this morning, in this letter, Paul is thanking the Philippians for giving to him, supplying him for his needs. And it seems like they sent a gift, probably along with this. They sent a gift along with Epaphroditus to Paul while he was in prison. And Paul, in writing this letter, was commending them for that, thanking them for it, and blessing them for it. That's the setting we find here with Paul in this passage, what he's referring to as he talks to the Philippian church. As we think of contentment, and he mentions being content in verse 11, and talks about his experiences, how he had, sometimes he had a lot, other times he did not. And we'll look at that as we go through the message. I want to look at these verses closely. But maybe before we get into these verses a lot, I want to think about some areas that I believe we're all tested in contentment at some time or another. Maybe this morning you don't think of that as an area of a challenge in your life. But I want to just give some ideas, some things to get us thinking about what areas that we're tested in contentment. And put your life in these examples, make it practical for you. Think of children and contentment. We know that a child, it's necessary for a child to be content for them to be happy. If a child is always wishing for one more toy or one more privilege, keeps them from learning the joy of contentment and being happy with what they have. And it's much the same for all of us. As adults, we can also become dissatisfied with our current life, wish we had something that another person has, wish we had something, a different lot in life. Maybe as school-age children, you can hardly wait till you're old enough to be in that next room, the one with the older children in. You can't wait to be in the big room where there's maybe more privileges, more liberties, more interesting things to study. And so you're always wishing for something a little better, a little bigger. When you turn 14, do you really have to wait 2 years till you can start driving? But then when you turn 16 and you get your permit, do you have to wait 6 months till you can have your license? And it goes on. You get out of school. Maybe you have your driver's license now. Maybe you're 16 and a half and you have your driver's license and you get a job. But you can't get the job you want because you have to be 18 to work at this job, a dream job of yours. So you have to put in time and you're always wishing for something a little better, a little bigger. Young people, they're longing for a relationship, a boyfriend or a girlfriend, and they feel like life is kind of stuck when you're in some of those years. Are you content with where you're at, where God has called you? Do I have to wait till I'm 20 years old or whatever age to get married? Once you do find a courtship companion, do I really need to have a good job and a good income before I can make plans to get married? My friend has a better job, more money saved. He drives a better car, a nicer car, something better than I have. Sometimes there are single people that look at their married friends and envy them. But maybe worse is there are times there's married people that look at their single friends and envy them. What about contentment? Are we content? It can affect us in many different ways. After marriage, soon a young couple is looking forward to children coming into their home. Are they satisfied with where God has them? Maybe God doesn't give them children for a few years. It's easy to look around at others and feel like their life is moving on and I'm stuck here. Do we become discontent and envious of other people? Maybe you're a young mother that is in the busy time of life raising two or three preschoolers. You remember longingly the days when you and your husband had long winter evenings to spend together in quiet conversation. Now there's preschoolers and an infant that are crying for your attention. Maybe you're a young father that has several boys that desperately need a father at home to teach them, and you envy or are somewhat discontent with your inability to be able to care for them like you wish you could. You look at your peer that has a farm and he can be home for three meals a day to raise and train his boys. Are we content where we're at? Maybe you have teenagers and you feel overwhelmed by their questions and challenges, and you envy the parents of young children because their children don't ask such hard questions. Maybe your children are married, you and your wife are living alone, and you wish you could go back and have more time with your children and grandchildren. Maybe you struggle with discontentment because you see others with their children live next door, their grandchildren are nearby, and you have grandchildren that are living in another state. You can't see them as often. I think contentment is something we can all struggle with, and maybe you didn't identify with some of these things, but I trust it'll help you get thinking about what we're talking about this morning with contentment. Are we satisfied with where God has placed us in life, where God has called us? Willing to fill that spot wherever it is. And that's what Paul talks about in this passage, and we want to look at some keys for contentment. The first one that I want to look at comes from verse 10. And maybe this verse is just seems a little bit hard to understand what Paul's saying with the old English. And I'm going to read it in another version just to give you modern English way what this verse is saying. It says, "I rejoice greatly in the Lord that at last you renewed your concern for me. Indeed, you were concerned, but you had no opportunity to show it." So, as I said, the Philippians had just sent a gift to Paul. He was in prison, and they had found a way to get a gift to him, monetary gift likely, supplies in some way or another. And the first key that I have to contentment is thinking of others. The Philippians, I believe, found contentment by thinking about spending time praying for and having a concern for Paul and his life and what he was going through. And Philippians sent this gift to Paul, and I believe they had been thinking about him. And the Philippians had to sacrifice. They had to give of their resources, their supplies, their money, to get this gift to send to him. And Epaphroditus had to sacrifice time to bring it to Paul. One of the keys of contentment is thinking of others, getting our minds off our own situation and thinking of someone else. Today, if I'm only thinking about my own situation, only living my life, never extend my vision to people around me, I'll become discontent. I'll become dissatisfied with where I am. The Philippians got their mind off of themselves and thinking about what Paul was going through, and they gave of their resources to Paul. If you go back in Philippians, just page back a page or two, to Philippians 2, verses 2 and 3. This is Paul in the same letter writing to the Philippians, and he says, "Fulfill ye my joy, that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man on the things of others." Paul in this passage told them to look on others' things. And sometimes we say, well, don't look at around you if you want to, and what the other person has, but I believe Paul is challenging them to look at others and show your concern, show your care to them, like they did to him. They were thinking of others ahead of themselves. That was the first key that I see here in this passage. The second point I want to bring out: contentment is not dependent on our circumstances. In this passage, Philippians 4, verse 11. Paul said that he had learned contentment. He said, "Now I speak in not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content." And Paul was saying a lot by that. If you think about what Paul had experienced, what he had been through, he had a lot of things that had happened to him. I invite you to turn back to 2 Corinthians 11. We'll just read a little bit about what Paul had experienced in his life throughout his ministry. 2 Corinthians 11, and we're going to read verses 23 to 33. And Paul was defending his apostleship and in this passage, but he was talking about some things he had experienced. And think about that as we think of that verse that he had said, "In whatsoever state I am therewith, I have learned to be content." 2 Corinthians 11, verse 23, "Are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I am more in labors, more abundant, in stripes above measure, in prisons, more frequent, in deaths off. Of the Jews 5 times received I 40 stripes, save one. Thrice was I beaten with rods, once was I stoned, thrice I suffered shipwreck, a night and a day I have been in the deep. In journeyings often, in perils of water, in perils of robbers, in perils by mine own countrymen, in perils by the heathen, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness and painfulness, in watchings often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness. Besides those things that were without, that which cometh upon me daily, the care of all the churches. Who is weak and I am not weak? Who is offended and I am not burnt? I am burnt not. If I must needs glory, I will glory of the things which concern mine infirmities. The God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which is blessed forevermore, knoweth that I lie not. In Damascus, the governor under Aretas the king kept the city of Damascus with a garrison desirous to apprehend me, and through a window in a basket was I let down by the wall and escaped his hands." This passage, Paul recounts some of the experiences he had been through. Think about what he says here. "I have, whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content." He had learned contentment, and his contentment was not based on his circumstances. You can see that when you see what he had been through. "I have learned in whatsoever state to be content." So contentment is not dependent on our circumstances. So then where is contentment from? Where does it come from? Well, moving on to verse 12, contentment can be possible with little or much. Here in this verse, he says, "I know both how to be abased and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things, I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need." So there was times he had plenty. There was times that things were going well. His missionary journeys were successful. He had people turning to Christ, and there was a lot of success, and things were going well. But then there was other times, like we read about, the hardships he faced. And he said, through that all, I know how to be content. So contentment is possible with little or much. Do you find it that way as well in your life? It's not whether you have a lot, whether you have enough, or whether you feel like you're barely getting by. Contentment is not tied to how much we have. So what is it? What's the key? I believe the true key to contentment is in the next verse. Verse 13, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. The true key to contentment must come, our identity and strength must come from Christ. And this verse is a familiar verse. You see it on mottos and it's quoted often. But we think about it in the context of contentment. We see that the provisions, Paul's testimony was that Christ supplies and gives strength to remain content, even if he was lacking some of the what seemed like necessities in his life. He had Christ, and that was what he needed. He had learned to find contentment in any situation, whether he had little or much, whether he was in prison or preaching on his missionary journeys. Paul's contentment came not from what he had, but from who he knew. And I believe that's for all of us today. It's not what you have, but who you know. Do you know Christ, the one who brings true fulfillment and purpose to our life? Without Christ, we're going to feel empty. We're going to feel like we don't have enough. We're going to feel like we're always needing to strive for something more. But with Christ in our life, it brings true purpose and contentment. How is it for you? Have you found contentment in your life? Have you found purpose in life through Christ? Or are you still longing for what others have, what someone else's position is, what someone else's role in life is? Instead, we need to realize the importance of placing our identity in Christ as the key to contentment. When we get our focus off of that, we begin to look around at what others have and we become discontent, we become dissatisfied with our current situation. And Paul's an example of that. We see through these verses that he had sometimes had a lot, other times he had little, but I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Another key to contentment is a thankful heart. And I pull that from some of the rest of these verses where Paul is commending and thanking the Philippians for their gift that they had brought to him. The way he had given that gift, they had given that gift to him. Paul had a special connection with these Philippians. They had given aid to him several different times. It mentions that here, how they had several times while he was at Thessalonica, they sent a gift to him. And Paul's contentment, I believe Paul's contentment was directly tied to his willingness and readiness to compliment and thank the church for what they had done for him. Likewise today, if we're grateful to those around us for the blessings we receive, we'll find it helps us to live a life of contentment. If we're thankful for what we have, we're not always longing and looking for something more. Paul was thankful for what he received. He could have probably complained about what they sent. Maybe it wasn't exactly what he needed, but he was glad because they had thought of him and they had blessed him. Another point, I think, tied to that is Paul was ready to and willing to receive the aid that they sent. Paul didn't say, no, I don't need that. I'm making out okay. I have what I need. But he accepted the help that was offered to him by the Philippians. If he had refused their aid, the first time or the second, and maybe the second time, what have they offered aid to him now when he really needed it? Let's be humble enough to accept help from our brothers and sisters so God can use it to bless our lives. And I think through that we'll find contentment in where God has placed us in life. Another key, and I believe another integral key to contentment, I see in verse 19. Verse 19 says, "But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus." One of the keys to contentment is realizing and recognizing where everything we have comes from. God is ultimately the giver and supplier of all our needs. God provides what we have. He provides us with what we have. And do we consider that if we're discontent with what God has given to us, we're actually discontent with God? We're actually not, believe that he is not giving us what we need? A quote that I believe applies to this thought, "Discontentment is at its root an accusation against God's character. Discontentment says that God has not given us all we need." If we're discontent, if we're dissatisfied, do we really realize that we're in a way telling God, "You didn't supply all my needs. You haven't given me what I need." So next time I'm tempted to compare my lot in life with someone else, I need to stop and reconsider what I'm actually saying. God will supply all our need according to his riches, and he has the riches to do that. You think of the riches of Christ, what he has done for us. Let's be content with where God has placed us. Well, our thought on contentment, we focus primarily on this passage, but there is other passages, other verses that talk about contentment. I wanted to look at a few of those here in conclusion. 1 Timothy 6, verses 6 to 8 say, "But godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain that we can carry nothing out. And having food and raiment, let us be therewith content." Another familiar verse about contentment, one that you probably thought of. And these verses challenge us to be content with our daily needs met. And who of us are struggling with food and raiment? I think we would all have to admit that we have been richly blessed in our lives, in the land we live in today. We have a lot of more than food and raiment. Why are we struggling with contentment? Is it possible because the more we have, the more we want? That sometimes maybe if we had less, we would be more content? Some things to ponder and think about. Hebrews 13, verse 5, "Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as ye have. For he has said, I will never leave thee, nor forsake thee." The Hebrew writer challenges us to be content, not to be coveting those around us. Remember, even if someone has more than we do, that doesn't mean they're more fulfilled or happier than we are. We can be content and satisfied if we find our identity in Christ. Another quote, "Comparison is the thief of joy." If we are comparing ourselves to others, we will become discontent. Little illustration I've seen to maybe bring that reality to that is an illustration of a bird that's looking at a fish and saying, "I wish I could swim." Meanwhile, the fish is looking at the bird and saying, "I wish I could fly." But each one is needing to fill its role, and so it is for us today. Be content with such things as ye have. In conclusion, you can turn with me to Matthew 6, another passage that I believe gives a few thoughts on being satisfied and content Matthew 6, I want to read verses 25 to 34, thinking how God is willing and ready to supply the things that we need, but we have a part in it as well. Matthew 6, verses 25 to the end of the chapter. Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body what ye shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit unto his stature? And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow and toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. Are we seeking the kingdom of God this morning? That's the focus, should be the focus of our life. And if we're seeking the kingdom of God, these other things, the other small things, the needs, things that to us sometimes seem like such big things that we need, it says that God will add them to us. Well, I bless and trust that God will bless you as you find fulfillment and contentment in the place God has called you. Fill it well. Do what God has called you this week. Remember that we can find contentment in any situation if we have our identity and strength in Jesus Christ. We know that our Heavenly Father sees and knows what we need, and he can supply it through his riches, which are in Christ Jesus. Let's kneel together for prayer.